So I want to thank you all for being here today. And we're still talking about the secret place. This will be part five. But I want to go into something that is accordingly. It's like this. God is wanting us to be with him. He is longing for us to be with him. He wants that. He wants us to be with him in all these areas. So he says, actually, I want to read this from Psalm 17. I love it. He says, magnify the marvels of your mercy to all who seek you. Okay, so in Psalm 17, actually, I'm going to back up. I want to back up to verse 4 and start reading from there, okay? So Psalm 17, we're going to start with verse 4. Tremendous psalm anyway, but I want to read this whole thing because it's so important in understanding this whole theme of seeking the Lord. Okay, we mentioned it yesterday with seek the Lord while he is approachable. And since the cross, God is more approachable than he's ever been in any time in history. Okay, so he's very, 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 very approachable. So, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I just love the Passion Translation here. He says, following your word has kept me from wrong. Verse 4 of Psalm 17. Following your word has kept me from wrong. Your ways have molded my footsteps, keeping me from going down the forbidden paths of the destroyer. My steps follow in the tracks of your chariot wheels, always staying in their path, never straying from your way. You will answer me, O God. I know you always will, like you always do, as you listen with love to my every prayer. We're going to talk all about this, so just hang on. Magnify the marvels of your mercy to all who seek you. Make your pure one wonderful to me, like you do for all those who turn aside to, here it is, hide themselves in you. Protect me from harm. Keep an eye on me like you would a child, reflected in the twinkling of your eye. Yes, hide me within the shelter of your embrace, under your outstretched wings. I just love this. And we're going to talk ad nauseum about this. So you're going to get sick of me talking about this, but it's so very, 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 very important. And in our lives, we have to recognize the ability of God to pursue us relentlessly. We have that song by Corey Asbury, and everybody sang it for a long time. It was called Reckless Love. And I went to the East Coast last year, and there was an uproar, well, I shouldn't say an uproar like it was a bad thing, but there was a lot of people who were annoyed at the fact that he used the term reckless love as it had a negative connotation. Like, but hear this. The reckless love of God has with it this idea of it doesn't matter, like in a positive sense, it doesn't matter what's in the way, he's going to pursue it. Thank you, Ruth. Lord, just give Ruth a renter for her house, for her room. And so this relentless, this reckless love. And so when I sang it in the East Coast while I was there, I used the word relentless. Because it's like a relentlessness of God's pursuit. It's a relentlessness of God's love. But God's love doesn't care what's in its path. It's recklessly pushing away everything in order to get what he wants the most. And that is you and me. Okay. Do you notice I didn't say anything? He just wants you and he just wants me. His love is unconditional. And we talked about that ad nauseum. He says, following your word has kept me from wrong. And I've been talking to a number of folks over the last few weeks who have had issues, have had troubles, have had discouragements, despairs, and it's like I'm telling them, listen, man, just follow His word. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it with your word. Okay? God's word is incredible. You keep it. I mean, we didn't choose our environment, most of us. We didn't choose who our parents were. You know, we didn't choose a lot of times how our situations. Some of them are self-inflicted, but most of them aren't. Okay, little Canon, I hope I pronounce his last name right. Hinnant, who was assassinated, 5-year-old little boy, was shot in the back of the head in front of his two sisters, and he didn't choose that for himself. Okay. You know, yes, it was a wicked thing that happened to him, but he didn't choose that. Okay, a lot of times we struggle with stuff in our past and in our and in our lives that we just had nothing, had very little to do with. You know, child trafficking thing that's being exposed now. So it's been there for a long time. But this thing that's being exposed now is these children, for the most part, if not all of them, never chose this life. You know, they didn't choose to have their lives ruined by these men or women that have seduced them and sexually abused them, having their body parts sold to harvest and sold to different people. Hear me when I say this, okay? God is there to help you, and but here is the thing. You can control some things. And he says, following your word has kept me from wrong. Your ways have molded my footsteps, keeping me from going down the forbidden paths of the destroyer. Okay? Your ways have molded my footsteps. Well, how can David say that? Look at all the things that David ended up doing. David was an Old Testament figure that had a New Testament mindset. He understood how to say he was sorry, and he understood where to go to find help. He says here, following your word has kept me from wrong. Well, when he slept with Bathsheba, was he following God's word? No, of course not. When he had Uriah murdered, was he following God's word? No. Were there consequences to that? Yes, he lost that child with Bathsheba. But with Bathsheba, he also had a son. His name was Solomon, who people traveled the entire regions of the known world in order to hear his wisdom. I mean, if it was possible, the Queen of Sheba, when she came to him, she was astonished. And can I say that she understood the power of God by the way that Solomon had his servant setting up the table? David says here, my steps follow in the tracks of your chariot wheels, always staying in their path and never straying from your way. You will answer me, God. I know you always will. Like you always do as you listen with love to my every prayer. And I want to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get into the chariot. Well, let's do the chariot wheels first. If you go to Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. I gotta wear reading glasses. I've been trying to be able to get my eyes checked, and you know, asking the Lord for help in doing that financially to get those, to get my eyes checked. But listen to this. His tracks take me, verse 2 of Psalm 23, he offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. And then going back to Psalm 17, he said, my steps follow in the tracks of your chariot wheels. Well, where are his chariot wheels taking us? This oasis of peace and this quiet brook, this waters of a resting place. There were many times on the trail I would go when I would hike or anything, and there'd be a stream, I would stop and listen. There was so much peace for me in my heart when I went there. His tracks take me there. That's where he's going. My steps follow in the tracks of your chariot wheels, always staying on their path. Where is their path going? To this oasis of bliss, this resting place of peace. You will answer me, O God. I know you always will, like you always do as you listen with love to my every prayer. Many, many times, see, we come to the Lord with a grocery list. And the Lord showed me in Matthew 6:33, he says, but let your primary seeking point, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then you have to read the verses before that, all those things, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, your provisions, you know, give us this day our daily bread. The birds of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, the flowers of the field, yet there's no one, even Solomon in all his glory, wasn't arrayed as any of those flowers. So why do you worry? Can you add 1 inch? Or can you add a millimeter or the tiniest measurement to your height by worrying? Of course not. But know this, God's desire in prayer, which is the part that we're getting into, and this is why all of this is background and is introduction to what it looks like in your secret place. God knows what you need even before you ask him. So what would the purpose of prayer be? Yes, you make your requests known to God. Don't get me wrong. But God already knows them. And you're agreeing with him that you have that need. But God always answers you if you spend time with him. The desire that God has in prayer is to have you seek his face, having you seek him, earnestly desiring him, going after him. You know, when I used to play hide and seek with the children and, you know, and all, and when we played hide and seek, you know, I'd have to look at if they weren't in one place, I had to find another place where they might be. And the same thing is with God. If you're looking for God in a certain area of your life, seek where he is. Go after, try to find out where he is and go there. You know, a lot of people think knock and the door will be open to you. They just think you knock on the same door. Well, I used to work in door-to-door sales. I sold vacuum cleaners door-to-door. I sold bottled water door-to-door, you know, the machines and all. And you know, if I knocked on a door, I counted 45 to 45. I don't know why. It was just something I did. And if nobody answered, I left. Because there was nothing at that door. So I went to the next door until I saw somebody. And you have to do the same thing with the Lord. When you're seeking for him, when you're asking for him, and when you're knocking. If he's not at that house address, you go to the next house. If you're seeking him about something, you're missing it. You seek him for him. And then he brings all these other things. Well, I'm not, you mean to tell me, Tom, that I'm not supposed to pray? No, that's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. Don't misjudge me here. Always staying, his chariot wheels always stay on their path, and they never stray from his ways. And then he says this, you always listen with love. He doesn't listen with, I wonder if he's going to ask correctly. The Bible says we don't know how to pray like we should, so the Holy Spirit and Jesus live to make intercession for us. They're praying on our behalf. They're praying God's desire in those things. Magnify the marvels of your mercy to all who seek you. This is translated from the Septuagint, from the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Magnify the marvels of your mercy to all who seek you. His mercy is marvelous, full of marvel. I love his mercy, not getting what we deserve, getting what we don't deserve. Grace. Make your pure one, he's talking about Jesus, wonderful to me. And that is translated out of the Aramaic. Like you do for all those who turn aside to hide themselves in you. Hide yourself in him. Hide yourself. Magnify. Make your pure one wonderful, the way that you do for all those who turn aside to hide themselves from you. And I love this. And we'll get into this on Monday. But he says, protect me from harm. Keep an eye on me like you would a child. Okay, a child or a daughter. Reflected in the twinkling of your eye. Yes, hide me within the shelter of your embrace under your outstretched wings. Under your outstretched wings. Well, listen, my beloved, God loves you, cares about you, and he really desires, above all else, that you seek him. Go after him. Get on that thing that so your tracks can be taken to the oasis of bliss, to that resting place. Hide under the outstretched shadow, shelter of his wings. Well, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you Monday.